I'm Liz Carter, a science communicator from the University of Alaska Fairbanks, and this is Alaska Voices, a place where community members, friends, and scientists can share stories and place-based knowledge in order to build a better tomorrow for Alaskans and the world.
Originally, I grew up in Gakona, Alaska.
Tyonek.
Egypt.
Idaho.
Grand Parge.
St. Lawrence Island.
St. Paul.
And I'm here with my student, my science buddy.
My teacher.
My homie.
I'm his daughter.
This mini-series is an interview-style show that explores the life and career thus far of Alaska Center for Climate Assessment and Policy's climate specialist, Rick Toman. During these four episodes, we will examine how Rick found his way to Alaska, how his career has grown and changed over the last 40 years, some major impacts and successes, and how his career can teach others about how to best work within Alaskan communities. And with that, I'd like to welcome Rick to the podcast. This episode, I'm really hoping to focus on the origins of your career, sort of what brought you to Alaska, what made you interested in weather. So, to start at the beginning, when did you first develop an interest in weather and climate?
I've been interested in weather and climate from my earliest memories. As a child, probably late elementary school, junior high school age, every morning I would get up and I would look at the temperature on the thermometer that was outside my bedroom window, and I would write it down and I would plot it on a piece of graph paper. And I did this for probably a couple years because I eventually wound up with taped together graph papers up on the wall strung around my room. And so there was no, I just was always interested in that. And so as I went through high school, my goal very early on, I wanted to go to college to major in meteorology. And growing up in Pennsylvania, the natural place was Penn State. It was one of the premier schools for meteorology in the U.S. And so that's what I wound up doing.
Are there any other moments that stuck out to you as encouraging this interest?
I vividly remember coming across quite a thick climate atlas of the United States at public library. You know, I was probably in high school or something, and I was just fascinated by this volume. But the reality is the climate part, the longer term view, the extremes. How does today's weather fit into that bigger picture? That's always been an interest to me. Probably not unrelated. It's probably part of a larger interest in history, whether it's weather history, or you know, national history.
And how does all of this tie into your decision to come to Alaska?
So along with weather and climate, I have always been interested in Alaska in cold weather. Growing up in Pennsylvania, I was a snow freak. I wanted it to snow. Southeast Pennsylvania in the 1970s was not a good place to be if you wanted snow. There was a number of very low snow winters then. But I was always excited about snow. I always enjoyed the snow and the cold weather. And that was manifest at a very early age. I vividly recall probably third grade or thereabouts, we had to do state reports. And in, of course, pre-internet era, so you wrote to a state tourism bureau and got their packet of information. And in third grade, I picked Alaska. And I was fascinated. This was during the pipeline era, so there was lots of information otherwise available. National Geographic in the 70s had whole spreads on Alaska. And so I consumed as much of that as I could. I read kind of the classic literature like Jack London, elementary, junior high age. So combining that, my enjoyment of cold weather and my fascination with Alaska from an early age kind of led me down that path towards being interested in Alaska weather and climate and ultimately the larger Panarctic picture.
We've talked a lot about your love for history. How do we see that in your relationship to Alaska?
Indigenous language, indigenous place names, indigenous people are a direct connection to that past, but unusually from a North American, you know, a European ancestry, North American, here it's a deep history. Thousands and thousands of years history, you know, place names that clearly refer to environments that have not existed in 9 or 10,000 years. That is very powerful. You know, I feel something, the same thing, you know, when I go back to Pennsylvania, to my Pennsylvania German ancestors, you know, a bit of the farm that my seventh great grandfather bought in 1763 is still owned by a Toman. And that's great, and I love it, but that's a whole different scale than in-use place names that are 10,000 years old. I think the awareness of that deep history is important for kind of shaping my attitude as I work with people and communities.
That love for Alaska, how has that evolved now that you've been living here for 40 plus years?
So, haven't been here a long time now. You know, in many ways, it, especially the weather, climate, the environment, the natural beauty of Alaska, to me is exciting now as the first time I got off the plane in Alaska in 1986. So in that sense, the initial rush has never left. Obviously, living in a place for decades, you know, there's no place is nirvana, right? There's things that are less than ideal, very much less than ideal. But for me, at least at this point, the good stuff still far outweighs some of the downsides, and it's the only place I could ever call home.
And after all this time, what keeps you choosing Alaska? Why has your work been focused here instead of other places of interest or the Arctic as a whole?
So I think the short answer is that I focus on Alaska weather and climate because Alaska's home. I certainly am interested in weather in other places, and certainly especially elsewhere in the Arctic. Alaska, like every place, you know, has its unique elements that that make the weather and climate specific to here, and so it's very different than, you know, the weather and climate of Siberia or the weather and climate of Greenland. But I think the short answer is that because it's home. As my career's gone along, and particularly in my role as a climate specialist over the last decade or so, it's become increasingly important for me to really hammer on Alaska at the national level. You know, the United States is an Arctic nation solely because of Alaska. And so there's a lot of interest. Well, what do changes in the Arctic mean for the lower 48? Or more broadly, what do changes in the Arctic mean for the mid-latitudes? And those are perfectly fine questions. But somebody has to play the role of, well, what do these changes mean in the Arctic? The Arctic is just not a source for changes in the mid-latitudes. It's a source. It's happening here, too. And so because of Alaska's small population and the Arctic's small population, I feel like I, at this point in my career, I can lend a voice to why the changes that are happening in the Arctic that are impacting lower latitudes are impacting us even more right now.
Alaska Voices is a place for communities to connect through conversation. This mini-series was created by Liz Carter, an Alaska Fellow at the Alaska Center for Climate Assessment and Policy. ACAP is housed at the University of Alaska Fairbanks International Arctic Research Center and is one of several Climate Adaptation Partnerships teams funded by the NOAA Climate Program Office. ACAP works to build healthy and thriving Alaska communities, economies, and ecosystems in a changing climate. This project was supported by the Alaska Voices team. If you're interested in more conversations or information, please visit alaskavoices.org.